This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 23, 2023, the third Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Jesus himself went with them. Their eyes were held that they should not know him. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. One ought never think that our Lord would arbitrarily choose someone not to recognize him. It would fly in the face of Scripture. Our Lord is desirous of the salvation of all. He does not want or desire the damnation of any. So he wants everybody to see him. So why, particularly during Easter time, when we look at the resurrection, it's interesting that every single person that is involved in viewing our Lord, particularly very early on after his resurrection, they don't recognize him. They don't see him. And now again, the question stands, does Jesus go out of his way to keep people from seeing who he is? I said, that flies in the face of Scripture. He wants everyone. The gospel is the free invitation to all. This is why in some parts of the Scripture that he came for the sins of the whole world, not for those who arbitrarily decides to show himself. In my Easter homily, I emphasized that our Lord Jesus Christ appears to people who diligently seek him. Those who diligently seek him are the ones who come to recognize our Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting, if you read passages like this and you read commentaries, the earliest church fathers, the modernist scholars, well, did Jesus change his appearance? Did his glorified body look that much different? That actually kind of flies in the face of Jesus' emphasis on the fact that it was the body that hung on the cross. Behold my hands and my side. I mean, he emphasizes that it's the same body. So why don't they recognize? I don't understand why the emphasis on Jesus keeping them from seeing him, because it doesn't say that. It doesn't say Jesus walked with them and he kept their eyes from seeing. It says Jesus himself went with them, but their eyes were held that they should not know him. What could their eyes be held by? Their doubts. Their doubts. There can be all kinds of things going on within us that make us, that make Jesus unrecognizable to us. Think of your family members and friends to whom you speak and try to get to return to Mass, or people that aren't Christians, you try to evangelize them. You try to do all these things, and it's like you're talking to the wall, or German Shepherd, and don't, you know, turn the head. What? They don't get it. Why don't they recognize? It's not because Jesus doesn't want them to. It's because of them. It is because of whatever kind of doubts or whatever kind of question, all these kind of things that are going. Sin can keep you from recognizing Jesus. You know, this is the reality of it. It's on us to recognize Jesus. It's on us to keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's on us. He gives us everything that we need to recognize him. We just need to cooperate with that. They're called graces. Okay, this is the reality. You know, those people to whom you speak, why don't they come back to Mass? Why don't you do that? It could be any number of things. There are some people who just, they just deny. I don't need that. I don't need that crutch. I don't need Jesus. I don't need organized religion. I'm a spiritual person, but not really. I hate that one. I'm spiritual, but not religious. How stupid is that? Anyway, I digress. They'll deny our Lord. Some are belligerent to our Lord. I've got those in my own family. Kind of hard to believe there's a family where one somebody's a priest and other people are belligerent. I mean belligerent, out belligerent. It's ridiculous. Believe in Santa Claus. And all. It's out there. Is that person ever going to recognize Jesus? No. No. Until they make an effort to do so. And then there's just the apathy. Meh. Yeah. These people believe this and these people believe that. This is a religion thing. Don't talk about it. It causes trouble and conflict. They're apathetic. They're never going to recognize Jesus in all his fullness. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about not knowing facts about him. We're talking about not recognizing him for who he is. This is what's going on here. And it doesn't matter how many facts you know. It doesn't matter how many catechism questions you can answer. Okay, all this cognitive stuff. It's not about that. Look at the Pharisees. The Pharisees knew the scriptures inside and out. They had them memorized. I wish our people would just read the scriptures. The Pharisees had them memorized. They memorized scripture. They knew all that. They commented on scripture. They did, but they didn't recognize Jesus. They knew all the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them, and they didn't get it. Here, John chapter 10, they had seen miracles. They had heard of what Jesus did, walking on water, raising people from the dead, making cripples walk, healing blind people. All these things, which they said themselves, we cannot deny these works. But it comes to the point where they confront our Lord. If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. What are they asking for there? What do they want? Jesus looking at him, I'm the Messiah. You know what would have happened if Jesus said that? They would have stoned him. Blasphemer, he called himself the Messiah. That's what they would have done. Just like when he come down from the cross and we'll believe. If you had to come down from the cross, see, I told you he's got a demon. Came off the cross. That's what they would have done. Why? They recognize him. They knew all kinds of things, but they didn't recognize Jesus. And St. Peter, in the reading today from the book of Acts, he attests to these same ones who turned him over to be crucified. This Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you. You saw. And you turn them over to be crucified. Peter's up in their face. Because what Peter, you know, what's going on here with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, what's going on here with the Pharisees, it's this divided heart that we have in this world. Every single one of us has it. Our Catholic life is trying to overcome the division in our heart. And it's, unfortunately, it never going to happen on this side. We can just make the division more and more on the side of believing and loving our Lord as to the part, let's call it doubting, where we doubt Jesus. And when I use that term, doubt Jesus, I don't doubt that, not doubting that he existed, not doubting that he died on the cross, but doubting what he says, doubting his teachings. Look at our day and age. Look at what's going on in the church now. You got bishops denying that there may be a hell. Or even if there is, there might not be anybody in it. That's doubting. That's not doubting. That's denying the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, you're not going to recognize him if you don't believe in something that foundational. That there is sin. You need to hear about it. That there is a hell, which is where the consequences of sin are manifest. That's foundational. That's why we're here. Why do you go to church? Oh, it's Sunday. No, we come to church to avoid hell. That's why we go to church. To worship God. Yes. Why do we worship? Because if you don't, you go to hell. It is that simple. And to negate simple truths like that, that our Lord teaches, the one who taught a lot more about hell than he did about heaven. And I always say, well, we don't talk about. What else don't you talk about that Jesus said? And what else don't you believe that Jesus said? Okay, these doubts that we have, this divided heart, I believe in him. It's like the guy who brought his son for our Lord to cure. It's kind of in a nutshell. What does our Lord say? Do you believe that I can do this? What's the man's response? I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. This was a man who recognized his own divided heart. I believe, Lord. Help my unbelief. I do believe in you. There is some, I don't know. We're never going to know. That's called faith. So we have to overcome the side of our heart that doubts. This is what Jesus wants on the road to Emmaus. And it's not just these guys on the road to Emmaus. It's all his apostles. It's even people who love him vehemently, like St. Mary Magdalene. Because, you know, we got to step back and look at it. If you doubt Jesus, if you doubt what he says, use bad grammar. He ain't happy about it. Oh, he's gracious and merciful. He doesn't care. Yes, he does care. He cares very obviously. Somebody who loves him as much as Mary Magdalene. Mary didn't have a divided heart because she was at the tomb. What did she bring with her at the tomb? What did she bring with her? Ointments and spices to do what? To anoint his body. Mary Magdalene, who loved him more than probably anybody walking the face of the earth now, or even then, she loved him so much, but he had said, Son of Man has to be handed over, be crucified, die, and on the third day rise again. If she believed what he said, I'm going to go to the tomb and I want to see it's empty. It's the third day. And he said, now what does she bring with her? Ointments and spices to do what? Anoint his body. If you believe what he said, his body isn't going to be there. So she, just by the fact that she brought those things, didn't really believe that his body wasn't going to be there on the third day, just like all his apostles. Jesus is not happy about this, because what happened when Mary went there? All of her love and all of her tears, and I am not undercutting that, because you can tell the way Jesus responds to her. He stands there, she looks at him, she thinks it's the gardener. Wherever you've taken the body of my Lord, tell me and I'll go get it. What is it, Jesus? We get one word, Mary. A lot of people read that, you go, Mary, it's me, Jesus. Oh, I didn't recognize you. That's not going on. When Jesus looks at her, he's like, Mary. Then she recognizes. He's like, Mary, you know what? She sees. Her eyes are open. He's very tender in that correction. Mary, I said, okay, I get it now. The disciples, not so much. You got people like Thomas. Unless I put my fingers in his hands and my hand in his side, I will not believe. I mean, how bold is that statement? Because he said he was going to rise. They tell him, the Lord has risen. Unless I see, unless I put my hands, I will not believe. And then all of a sudden he gets that nauseous moment when Jesus is standing in front of him. Hey, Thomas, put your fingers out, guy. Thomas, like I said, with much nausea, I'm sure. My Lord and my God. Jesus, okay, now you get it. I'm good. Thomas, you believe because you've seen. More blessed are those who are going to believe and not see. Our Lord's words. Stop being faithless, but believing. It's just not Thomas. It's all of them. The end of the Gospel of Mark, right before he ascends, they're hanging out eating, the disciples. And Jesus appears. It's weird how all the resurrection appearances, Jesus doing some house cleaning as far as people's understanding of him. You know, right before his ascension to heaven, and the 11 were at table, and the Lord appeared to them, and he upbraided them. Notice the word. He corrected them. He taught them. He upbraided them. Very churched up literature that he was all up in their face. It went far beyond correcting. He upbraided them with their incredulity and their hardness of heart because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen. Jesus doesn't even get upset that you don't believe what I said. But then when other people are telling you what I said was true and you still don't believe, not you just, Thomas, all of you, Every single one of you, wrong. Fix yourselves. We can fix ourselves. This is why he wants us to understand that that doubting part of our heart is there with each and every one of us. We can sit there and sound all holier than thou. I don't ever doubt. Do you have to go to confession? Well, yeah. Why? How can you get, if you don't doubt, like Jesus' justice and his righteousness, or that he's God Almighty, how could you sin, particularly when you're talking about serious sin? Because you could not believe in his justice and righteousness and that the existence of hell and do those things. You couldn't do it. There is something in you that doubts his justice and righteousness. Or you commit the other grave sin of presumption. You just presume on his grace. Well, you know, I did this. I'll get to confession a week, 10 days from now. You don't know if you have 5 minutes. And you could be stand before the judgment seat. Oh, next week when I go to confession. Oh boy, that's bold. That's doubt. I doubt that I'll die, whatever. I doubt that there's a hell that I might wind up in because I've committed a mortal sin. It's a doubt. Jesus wants us to understand these doubts and fix them. That's what this is all about. We need to be believing. What is the mantra? Stop being unbelieving. Stop being faithless. We need to be believing. You know, this isn't about Jesus, again, arbitrarily closing people's eyes because he chooses some people to go to hell. That's very Calvinist. Double predestined. He destined some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. Yeah, it just kind of flies in the face of Scripture where he is not willing that any should perish, but all that come to repentance. He sent his only begotten Son, that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not the ones he chooses. He's chosen us all. We just have to grab the choice. St. Augustine is one of those, I love honest saints. While they're in this world, they're not saints. St. Augustine, he talks about this whole road to Emmaus thing. And early on in his ministry, he had written some stuff that, you know, Jesus kept them from seeing him because, you know, for whatever reason, he must have changed his appearance. And he actually retracted that in writing. He goes, I know I said this before. That's not right. As he progressed in his faith, he says about this passion, their eyes were held from recognizing him because their hearts, you see, needed more thorough instruction. We call that catechesis. We need thorough instruction. This is why I emphasize all the time the necessity. The absolute necessity for the good of your soul to read Scripture. You need to know who God is, not who you think he may be, not who you've heard for 20, 40, 50 years who he is, the teddy bear Jesus that sits up there and doesn't care about what people do because he's so gracious and merciful. Okay, he does care what people do. It upsets him when they don't do what he says or believe what he teaches. St. Augustine said, you know, we get this presented to us in order that we can be instructed. It's not necessarily by others, but with ourselves. Because when we are exposed to our own doubts, then we, if we know Scripture, if we know the deposit of the faith, the teaching of the Catholic Church, the magisterial teachings that are perennial in the Church, we're enlightened. But that in and of itself isn't even enough. When did these men realize who Jesus is? And this is a cross. They specifically, in the breaking of bread, see our Lord, that every time people recognize him truly, when they realize the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ, is when he is truly present with them. When he's there with, that's us in the Eucharist. This is why our Lord Jesus Christ, this is why it's so imperative and why I always harp on it. Over 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real present. They're faithless. They don't believe. So our Lord said, this is my body, this is my blood. Not this is a spiritual illustration of my body. This is not an analogy. No, this is my body. This is why he says, and it's so important. If you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, if you just eat some bread that's a symbol, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. That's in your face. You have no life in you if you don't believe that you're eating the flesh and drinking the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's taught. We need to believe it. And the closer we get to the Eucharist, the the more our eyes are open. When we talk about our eyes being open, we're not talking about it happens occasionally, Saul of Tarsus, where somebody's eyes are open like immediately because God has a plan for you that he wants right now. That's very rare. Most of us, our eyes slowly open through our lives of faith. Decades and decades of being a Catholic, our eyes are open. And interesting, that phrase that's used in the Greek in the New Testament, their eyes were opened in the breaking of bread. Their eyes were opened. That phrase is used only 8 times in the New Testament, and it always indicates a deeper understanding of revelation. Not just, oh, I get some facts, or I know more now in my head about Jesus. It's a deepening of revelation, what he has told us about himself. So this is a progressive thing for us. That we can never, again, play the holier than thou. I don't have any doubts in me. If the apostles did, who saw his miracle, we're going to have the same thing. We just have to recognize it. We have to recognize it and try to fix it. I'll leave you with the words from 1 Peter, from the reading today. Jesus Christ was foreknown before the foundation of the world as the Messiah, but manifested in the last times for you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.